all week, as I've been thinking about this topic of land, I've had this Disney song stuck in my head. So see if you can figure out which movie this is from. You think you know whatever land you land on. The earth is just a dead thing you can claim. But I know every rock and tree and creature has a life, has a spirit, has a name. Huh? Anyone? Pocahontas! Yes. The movie's problematic, but this song is kind of on point for today, right? Like, we're talking about land. And in this first reading from Leviticus, the land is a character. It's got a name and a spirit. Here we are back in the wilderness school, and Moses is preparing the people to get ready for the promised land. And God has some specific ideas of how life is going to work in the promised land. God has already given them the Ten Commandments. And now we have the whole book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy as an expansion of these things. How can we live in community with one another? And how do we remember that God is God and we are God's people? In a specific chunk in the book of Leviticus, the land is given a voice. Here, you will get the land a break every 7 years. You can harvest what grows wildly, but no tilling. It's an echo of the manna story that we heard last week. Don't worry, there will be enough. Between a triple harvest on year 6 and what God will provide wildly, no one will go hungry. And then it's even expanded. So every 7 years, you get a break, and then 7 times 7, which is 49, they round up to 50, you will practice a year of Jubilee, where all debts are forgiven, and everyone starts over. Can you imagine this? It's so radical to our Western little capitalist minds, with student loans and car loans and mortgages and credit cards. It's hard to fathom a world where all debt would be forgiven. Not just once, but every 50 years. That's right, Claire. It's not fair. Someone would definitely scam the system, right? I mean, there should be checks and balances in these things. Of course, you know, my debts would be forgiven, but my neighbor Bob here, he has done nothing to work off his debt in the last 48 years. So his stuff's going to be forgiven too. Yes. And here's the zinger, this last line. God says, remember, the land belongs to me, and you are aliens and tenants. God calls the Israelites renters or house guests. Or you think of, like, maybe that in-law suite that we see all those ads for that's, like, built on the backyard of a property. You are just a house guest. God owns it all. This week I participated in a stewardship conference class, and we talked about how stewardship is such a loaded word. We all have baggage attached to it. This is why no one will volunteer to be our deacon of stewardship here at Faith Lutheran Church. Because when we hear this word stewardship in the church, it's automatically connected to money and asking for more. But at the heart of it, stewardship is actually connected to love. It's recognizing what God has done for us, given us all that we need, and more so. Remember God said, in year 6, you're going to get 3 times as much, and it's going to cover you in this year of rest. And then it's also, stewardship's also remembering that inward reflection, reflecting on all the things that God has entrusted into our care as tenants. And sure, sometimes that's money, but also that's about relationships and time. And like today, we remember the very land that we live with. Stewardship's also about looking outward as how we manage what we've been given with such love to serve the neighbors and those around us so that all have what they need. so often when we think about giving, we think about tithe, right? We're going to give God this little percentage, and then we get to keep the rest, kind of like a piece of pie. But actually, this scripture says something different. God owns the whole pie plate, every single piece. And God actually cares what we do with it. When we think about land ownership, it gets more complicated than that. Especially for us in the United States, we've got this sordid past with land ownership. We think about the horrendous practices done over centuries with indigenous people and slavery and redlining neighborhoods and declining mortgages to veterans of color, which meant denying generational wealth for these families. Land means something. And we'd like to think that we've owned it, that we've earned it. But God has other ideas. And so how do we fix it? Yes, we as individuals might not have put slavery or redlining into practice. We might not have kicked indigenous people off our property before we moved in. But we do benefit from these practices. And yet, these problems feel so big, so complicated and overwhelming. I really want to believe in this idea of Jubilee, but in reality, it's daunting. You think about it, very vulnerable. And so we go then to our gospel text. We get this tax collector, Zacchaeus. And Jesus comes to his house to eat a meal, much to the chagrin of the wider community. And from this dinner table, from this place of love and acceptance, Zacchaeus proclaims, I'm going to give back what I've taken. I'm going to give half of it to the poor. And not only that, I'm going to give back four times as much as I owe. He pivots, realizing that money can only be a tool. It cannot be all there is. Dear ones, I'd like to think that every time we do offering at church, it's a radical thing. I know, it's kind of a sleepy practice, right? We've got this gold plate and we pass it around. But really what you're doing when you pass around the plate is this practice of letting go of control. Giving back what belongs to God and trusting that God will take what we bring, these pennies, whatever we're able to share, that God does incredible things with it. And as we give, we remember that we still have enough, that we still have all that we need. It's this call back to the wilderness school, that we take only what we need and remember that even the land we stand on matters. You know, a group of people did that for us 90 years ago. And they have this beautiful church now, thanks to their legacy giving, thanks to their putting in the offering plate and saying, I want to see what God can do with this. It's this little glimpse of the longer view, where we contribute, we let go, and we're not even sure what the end result will be. Mike and I have been reflecting on stewardship and giving as we've become house guests, actually, in the last 5 months. Because we are house guests of you. We live on your parsonage on the northern corner of this property. And it's new for us. What does it mean that the parsonage is not our forever home? And yet it's this beautiful spot for us to rest our heads at the end of the day. The backyard has this incredibly large willow tree that we get to play under. We've even begun to garden a little bit. But it's different for us. In Minneapolis, we owned our house. Well, the bank owned it. You know, we made some payments. You know the drill. And when we decided to buy this house, we saw it in the winter. There was like 3 feet of snow on the ground. And when we moved in May, and we were going to just start some gardening and things, but we had this baby and lots of boxes to unpack. And so I was really surprised the first spring when a bunch of tulips and daffodils started popping up in really random places, like right in the middle of the yard. Our neighbors, Wade and Carrie, shared that they were from the original owner. So, like, they're not the people we bought the house from, but the person before that. And she was a sweet lady. And while the landscaping around these flowers was long gone, these flowers, these tulips and daffodils still remained. And they brought us such joy. They're the first thing to come up after a ridiculously long winter. And they're this pop of color before even the grass is green. And so, dear ones, no, we can't change the whole system. But maybe we can do these little acts with great love. May we remember our debts have been forgiven. So I invite you to be generous and sound the trumpet and declare Jubilee where you can. May we remember that we live with the land instead of on it. And may we care for things now, planting tulips and daffodils of joy and beauty for the long game, the ones we may never even meet. Amen. Thanks be to God.